Good morning. This is the time set for oral argument in Mineral County versus Lyon County, case number 75917. We've allotted 65 minutes for oral argument in this case, 30 minutes to the appellant side, 35 minutes to the respondent side, the additional 5 minutes being an accommodation to the state engineer as amicus. I trust counsel have worked out how they're dividing their time among themselves. Very well. Are appellants ready to proceed?
Good morning, and may it please the court. My name is Simeon Herskovitz. I am a counsel, lead counsel for the appellants in this case, Mineral County, Nevada, and the Walker Lake Working Group, a local grassroots public interest conservation group based in Hawthorne and the surrounding communities around Walker Lake. With me this morning are Sean Rowe, the Mineral County District Attorney, my colleague Iris Thornton. Also, we have commissioners from Mineral County, Chairman Chris Haig and Vice Chair Christine Hofer. In addition, there are former commissioners, Jerry Tipton and James Essenprice. There are a number of members of conservation groups in the broader conservation community in Tau in Nevada who support and collaborate at times with the Walker Lake Working Group in the effort to save and restore Walker Lake. They include the Toyabe chapter of the Sierra Club, the Nevada Wildlife Federation, and other organizations, citizens groups. I'm already using more time on introductions than I ought to. Let me just say, Chief Justice Pickering, and to the rest of the court, I intend to speak for 20 minutes and then to reserve 10 minutes of my time for rebuttal after the respondents have gone.
Very well.
So let me begin by saying, the first question that was certified by the Ninth Circuit was, in the words of the Ninth Circuit, does the public trust doctrine apply to rights already adjudicated and settled under the doctrine of prior appropriation, and if so, to what extent? And I think in answering this question, it's essential that the court bear in mind that the focus of the public trust inquiry is what is the trust race? What is the public trust resource, if there is one? And here, as we've laid out in our briefs, Walker Lake is the public trust resource, and the waters of the Walker River system, which are its only significant tributary or source of water, are also covered necessarily for the sake of the public trust resource Walker Lake to be preserved, and for the trust values and uses in the lake to be supported and protected by the state. The answer to the question is, of course, yes. The public trust doctrine exists in Nevada law. It has existed in Nevada law in an implicit sense for a very long time, as it was expressly articulated and discussed by this court in the Lawrence decision 9 years ago. It's essentially an ancient background principle that inheres in the law of this state, and that also is an inherent component of every single water right in the state, both pre-statutory and post-statutory. That's apparent from early decisions. It's also apparent from the common law and the civil law of Europe, of Great Britain, and of the rest of the United States before Nevada was a territory or a state. As we've explained, early decisions in Nevada recognize that ultimately the water itself, the water resources of the state, are owned by the public, and that a standard of reasonableness has always been recognized as applying to appropriative water rights. I want to say that when reference is made by the Ninth Circuit or by the respondents to what are called adjudicated or sometimes vested or settled water rights, these all relate to the establishment of appropriative water rights under Nevada law as relative water rights or correlative rights amongst claimants or holders of appropriative rights in the state. That's the nature of the water law. That was true of adjudication before the 1913 water law was adopted. And in the series of cases that this court considered and decided, ruling on the propriety and constitutionality of the statutory water law after 1913, the court clearly held that the nature of an adjudication of water rights in this state, both in the statute but in more general sense, is the ascertainment and fixing of relative rights, relative priority and relative rights of claimants to a particular water source, such as a river or a lake or some other water resource in the state. Now, the state holds this public trust resource, Walker Lake, in trust for the people. And under Nevada law, of course, all waters of the state, including subsurface waters and surface waters, regardless of navigability, are owned by the public and are held in trust by the sovereign state government for the benefit of the public, including future as well as present generations. With regard to which surface resources would more traditionally be considered public trust resources for a variety of uses, including the fisheries, bathing, commerce, economic benefit, and other forms of recreation, and more recently, including environmental or ecological values and functions that the state and the public at large benefit from and enjoy, and also aesthetic or scenic values. There's been no serious, and there really can be no serious contention, that Walker Lake is anything other than a navigable body of water in this state. It was regularly plied by boats. The fishery was thriving for many decades, and in addition to boats and fisheries, it was commonly used for bathing and served many other classic trust values or functions as a water resource of Nevada. It's also one of Nevada's very, very few natural lakes. In fact, other than Pyramid Lake, the only natural lake in the state at this time is the portion of Lake Tahoe that is in Nevada. So Walker Lake is a very precious water resource or trust resource for the state of Nevada. And it has always been protected by the public trust, but that protection has never been vindicated or acted on by either the state engineer, the Nevada Department of Wildlife, or unfortunately the decree court. Now in this case, of course, when we talk about the state and the sovereign, we are also looking at the Walker River Decree, which was entered by the federal district court. But the federal district court in this case stands in the shoes of the state. And in apportioning and fixing adjudicated water rights in the decree, it applied Nevada law. And so Nevada's determination of how and to what extent the public trust doctrine governs here will control the federal court's decision in this case and determination of how the rivers of the Walker River system and Walker Lake need to be managed, and the extractive or consumptive usufructory use under appropriative rights has to be managed differently and restricted in some potential instances in order to restore the public trust values and utility of Walker Lake. Now, I do not have a lot of time, so I want to make a point that I think we've made in our briefs, but it deserves some reiteration. The vesting or settling or adjudication of water rights does not render them immune from or settled in the sense that the public, the sovereign government, no longer has any right of ultimate ownership. The paramount ownership of the public is still the dominant estate in the public trust resource.
But, sir, hasn't the legislature put a statutory scheme in place that puts up the guardrails that you're talking about? Beneficial use, certainly there are parameters that the legislature has put in place to make sure that the water is being used to benefit the public.
Justice Stiglitz, there is a comprehensive or relatively comprehensive statutory water system that's been erected by the legislature. That is very similar to the legislative or statutory water regimes of all of the Western states that have considered and have found that the public trust doctrine is not subsumed and is not completely vindicated or carried into effect by that statutory body of water law alone or the regime. In this instance, while the statutory law of 1913, the water law, reaffirmed the ultimate and paramount public ownership of the water, it did not establish or create any mandate or mechanism for the public trust fiduciary obligation to be enforced or continuously acted upon by the state. In the respondents' briefs and in the state engineer's responding amicus brief, they point to the statutory regime and claim that public ownership provision and certain other provisions that allow or permit private transfers of water for environmental purposes reflect the fact that the statutory body of water law in Nevada has completely displaced the public trust doctrine. But that's clearly not the case. I think this court in Lawrence and the California Supreme Court in National Audubon and the Idaho Supreme Court in Kootenai Environmental Alliance and some of the other sister states courts have all found that those provisions do not, they have not historically, and they do not, when you examine them on their face, create a mandate or a mechanism for the state to actually vindicate and enforce its public trust obligations with regard to the resources. So none of those are actually mandatory implementations or articulations of the fiduciary or trust obligation that the state has to ensure that when use rights are exercised, that is not done in a way that unreasonably harms or destroys the permanent trust values and uses of a resource like Walker Lake. And the history in this case clearly reflects that the statutory water law of Nevada is inadequate, and the state engineer, in acting under the various provisions of that law, has never acted to safeguard or protect Walker Lake and its various ecological, recreational, economic, and other trust uses. So the statutory water law of Nevada is something that is complementary to and should function in this state as a sort of integrated whole with the public trust doctrine. But the public trust doctrine is an inherent limitation on the sovereign power and the sovereign conduct of the state of Nevada, since it has to make sure that use rights that it has allocated to individual entities or private individuals in the public trust race or resource don't destroy that and deprive future as well as current generations of Nevada from the various benefits that they're entitled to and that the state is obliged to protect in the public trust water resource, like Walker Lake here. So the statutory body of water law is significant, but it does not subsume or completely capture and vindicate or implement the requirements of the public trust doctrine.
So you're saying that the state legislature in 1913 failed to consider the public trust doctrine as it might apply to Mineral County or to Walker Lake when it enacted that statutory scheme?
Yes, Justice Horsley, most definitely. The statutory...
Can you help me understand the basis for that argument, either from legislative history or what transpired in 1913 that supports that conclusion?
Well,
or are you saying that the public trust doctrine has been ignored by the state engineer in its regulatory functions since the water law went into effect? Those are two very different things in my mind.
You are correct, Justice Hardesty. That is, those are two different things, and I would argue both are the case. The state engineer.
What are your best arguments for both?
Well, the principal argument for the statutory law not reflecting a public trust dispensation, so to speak, is that nothing in the plain language of the statute anywhere indicates that the legislature intended to dispose permanently of public trust water resources of the state of Nevada. There just isn't a shred of language in the statute that actually makes that determination. And as this court held in Lawrence, if a state, the sovereign, that has an enduring fiduciary responsibility to future generations as well as present, is going to make a determination to dispense with and finally dispose of trust property.
Why didn't the legislature assure that protection in 533.050 when it said the beneficial use of water is declared a public use? In enacting that provision of the statute and then the rest of the scheme, didn't the legislature preserve the public trust doctrine and expect, perhaps, that the state engineer, in exercising his or her functions going forward, would protect the public trust in the process of appropriating water through permits?
No, I don't think so, Justice Hardesty, because the history of Nevada's efforts, repeated efforts, in the early 20th century to adopt statutory water law centered on an attempt to impose an administrative ordered system of managing water rights, appropriative water rights, and did not attempt to fundamentally define or alter the substance of water rights as they had already been developed in the courts of Nevada. And the provision that defines beneficial use as a public use does not comprehend in it, either by its terms or by anything else that implicitly can be read into it, a requirement that public trust uses and values are actually either to be treated as beneficial uses, or that beneficial uses must somehow reasonably protect the public trust values and
that argument, the resources. That argument seems inconsistent to me, and why I asked the second part of this question, whether the state engineer has fulfilled its expectations or responsibilities to assure that the public trust is satisfied, because you began your argument and your briefs point out that the public trust doctrine is pretty well embedded in our law, and our court has recognized this repeatedly.
Well, yes, Justice Hardesty, it is embedded in the law, and it has been recognized by the courts.
So
wasn't
that doctrine in place and implicit when the legislature passed the 1913 law?
I think it was in place. When you say implicit, I do not think that there is anything in the law that clearly indicates that the public trust doctrine and the fiduciary obligation that the state is under as a whole was thought of and was integrated or incorporated in a comprehensive fashion in that law. And I think that actually the history of the state engineer's conduct reflects that while he or the state engineer's office, they have historically recognized that they have police power and that they can on occasion enter into some form of regulatory or restrictive intervention with the exercise of appropriative rights, they have never historically taken action to protect Walker Lake in particular, but really any trust resource in the state, and they have not historically invoked the public trust in an explicit way and talked about any requirement under the law to restrict the beneficial uses that are permitted under the statutory law and that may be a form of public use, but that have the effect of unreasonably harming, and in the case of Walker Lake, completely devastating a vital public trust water resource of the state. So the state engineer's history of interpreting his responsibilities and duties under the law and the language of the law and its history don't reflect that the public trust doctrine was completely integrated or reflected in it. And there is nothing in the legislative history that says that the legislature was consciously discussing or considering the public trust fiduciary obligation of the state towards future as well as present generations. I think the fact that water is owned by the public reflects a recognition of the fact that it is a public trust resource, but then the law does not go in and create any mechanism or any clear requirement that public trust resources be actively monitored and that private or other types of appropriative water rights that are issued by the state engineer that have been acquired before the creation of the administrative regime have to be continuously, as the state's obligation of the public trust doctrine would dictate, have to be continuously monitored and, when necessary for the benefit or preservation of public trust resources, revisited and restricted or managed in a different fashion to ensure that they are not exercised in such a way as to destroy or harm unreasonably the public trust resource.
So let me shift to another question, if I may, and that has to do with the argument made by respondents that application of the public trust doctrine to prior appropriations would be very destabilizing and would, in effect, create some significant uncertainty to our finality rule. What do you say about that?
I think that argument is unfounded. I think it's not surprising that the beneficiaries of the status quo over the past several decades are alarmed and may have genuine concerns about the potential effects or implications of an express acknowledgement of the public trust duties that the state is under and of its application to Walker Lake and in a way that has effects on the appropriative water rights on the Walker River system under the decree. But the experience of sister states that have adopted the public trust doctrine and found that it is not subsumed by, but is instead integrated with the statutory water law has shown no history, no record whatsoever of those kinds of disruptions or overturning of priorities or of the effective functioning of appropriative water rights and the delivery of the benefits that they've historically delivered. The public trust doctrine only calls for a type of balancing test that must be engaged in by the administrative or judicial decision maker, and that would balance and examine both the existing appropriative rights, the public interest or public benefits achieved by them, the harms that are occurring to the public trust resource, the values and the nature of the resource and the effects on it. But it doesn't dictate that water rights will be overturned willy-nilly or wholesale in the state. And it doesn't in any way dictate that there will be a
posing
disruption.
A question to us about the effect on prior appropriations certainly suggests that there would be an impact on those who've previously received permits under the 1913 law.
Well, Your Honor, let me say that in an exceptional watershed like the Walker River Basin and the Walker Lake Basin, where there has clearly been a complete abject failure to acknowledge the public trust responsibilities and to take any account of the lake's needs or its public trust values, there will, in all likelihood, be some effect on at least some of the water rights. But it's impossible at this point to know how many rights, how frequently they will be affected. There'll be no reallocation or abrogation of rights. There'll be no divestiture of title, no changing of priorities. There may be management that needs to be engaged in that results in less water being made available for water rights holders, particularly junior water rights holders. The fact that a program has been funded by Congress to partially address the problem in the basin and to acquire a substantial amount of water rights for the benefit of the lake means that in all likelihood, when the decree court actually examines the specific facts of this case and the extent to which there have to be increased flows, at least on average or in years that permit it, to the lake for it to restore the lake to a minimum acceptable level of functionality and value and ecological integrity or life, I guess you could say, may result in requirements for increased efficiency, changed flow regimes. It may deal with particular wet years and the restrictions placed on floodwater rights that are now currently and historically have been used to deprive potential flows from deprive the lake of potential flows that are in excess of the basic decree beneficial use irrigation rights that dominate the basin. I think I also need to say that the experience in California, which in 1983 was a leading Western state in articulating how the public trust doctrine should be applied to a very similar lake in very similar circumstances, Mono Lake, described in eloquent detail how in a rational and balanced fashion the public trust doctrine could be integrated into a solution in that basin and a way of solving the problems that were plaguing that lake, which is just like the situation with Walker Lake. The experience in the over 30 years since then, over 35 years since then, has been that there have been none of the types of aggressive interferences or wholesale changing of entities or individuals' ability to use their appropriative water rights or their riparian rights in California. It really doesn't matter what kind of water right it is. They're all subject to the public trust doctrine. For the benefits that they're intended. And as I've alluded to before, because the public trust doctrine's integration or implementation would only call for a fact-specific balancing in cases like the Walker Lake case, it is not necessarily to be expected that there would be an interference with municipal water supplies where that doesn't make sense in the balancing of the different factors and circumstances. And California's experience has shown that the public trust doctrine is significant, but it's just one more tool, just one more component of the law and the way for the state to protect the long-term public interest in certain water resources. And it has not led to some kind of reordering in a radical sense of the priority system, prior appropriation rights in general in any sense. Now, I see I've gone beyond the time that I had intended to, and I have not yet had a chance to address the second certified question, but I will reserve the balance of my time for rebuttal.
Very well.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. Heidi Perry Stern. I'm here on behalf of Nevada Department of Wildlife and the state engineer. I will be only addressing question one today. The state engineer and the Nevada Department of Wildlife don't take a position on the takings question in this case. But I'll start with Mineral County's fundamental error. The county's error is that it proposes using the public trust doctrine as a sledgehammer to undo prior appropriations that have been made through Nevada law. And particularly, it proposes doing so through the court system, in contrast to the way that Nevada water law has developed through legislative policy. This is not the proper purpose or use of the public trust doctrine. While the public trust doctrine is broadly incorporated into Nevada water law, it doesn't provide a specific solution to the problem of Walker Lake, at least not in the way that Mineral County is seeking today. Mineral County's erroneous conception of the public trust doctrine actually leads it to ignore many other public trust values. It proposes that filling Walker Lake is a value that rises above all of the other public trust values in the Walker River Basin. And it also results in ignoring the concerns and considerations that this court set out in Lawrence. And so we propose as state entities that this court needs to look to Nevada law to solve this problem. The law of other states gives us very little guidance in these circumstances, and particularly looking at the states of Hawaii and California is unhelpful to Nevada as the most arid state in the country. So looking to Lawrence, this court has already laid out very much a public trust principle that should work for our state and does in practice. It proposes a public trust doctrine that is broad in principle, but narrow in practice and application. I think everyone acknowledges that the public trust doctrine has been implicit in this state's law for a very long time. Our statutes contain multiple comments about beneficial use, about using water in the public interest. The state engineer is bound by those, and certainly NDOW looks towards those values in apportioning the limited water resources it does have. Now, the narrowness of its application is another important part of Lawrence. So the public trust doctrine that's described in Lawrence cannot be properly applied by this court to prior appropriated water rights. And that's because in Lawrence, this court basically recognized the separation of powers concept that govern how we deal with water rights in the state. The legislature decides what the public trust values are, and there are multiple, and they are changing. And the legislature is the appropriate place for the people to make heard their opinions on what the public trust values currently are. Those are then incorporated into all of the decisions by the state engineer. I'd like to point out on behalf of the state engineer that the state engineer is very much bound by the statutes of the legislature. He doesn't have a lot of discretion to go beyond those. He must consider public interest. He must consider beneficial use. He must follow the public trust values as they are set up in the legislature, not make up his own or respond to those proposed to him by private parties. So he considers those in every decision that involves public trust property. And finally, this court reviews.
Is the state engineer's decisions constrained by the decree in this case?
Yes, they are. Yeah. And I asked
to what extent.
Oh, to what extent? I apologize.
It would seem that if appropriate consideration has not been given to Walker Lake in the decree, for example, that the state engineer's consideration of Walker Lake hasn't been appropriately considered in decisions on prior appropriations. What do you say to that?
So my response is twofold. The first is that the decree itself incorporated beneficial use principles and stated that the vested rights that went into forming the decree were based on beneficial use. So the public interest as it existed at that time was considered. Now, it may have been and probably was considered that public trust values upstream somehow outweighed the eventual filling of Walker Lake to the extent that Mineral County would like. But that is just part of the whole balancing act that Nevada's water law is based on. It's a recognition, the state engineer recognizes, and I think everyone has to recognize, that scarcity drives our policy decisions. And scarcity also drives the decree court's decision. It had to look at multiple beneficial uses. And the state engineer is, I believe, fully bound by that. However, the second answer to your question is that within our current system, there is space to get water to Walker Lake. And that is through several of the amici, as well as the state engineer, cites in their brief the Walker Basin Conservation Project. And that project provides the type of solution that can help Walker Lake. It is congressionally funded. It allows the state engineer to act to approve changes to water rights. And in response to Mineral County's assertion that the state engineer has never done anything to try and protect Walker Lake, I would posit that that's untrue, because every time the state engineer approves a water change or use right under this conservation project, that water goes to Walker Lake. And so as a result, as of April of this year, I understand that 50% of the water now being sought in this case by Mineral County will be going down to the lake. Does that answer your question, Your Honor? Thank you. So moving on, the state engineer is under an obligation to continuously consider the public trust, but that public trust is dictated by the legislature. It's dictated by statute. And beneficial use, as we discussed, is the touchstone for everything. Beneficial use was recognized in 1903, prior to the statutory, comprehensive statutory system that we have now. And it was even recognized by this court as being a part of pre-water law rights, vested rights, such as we're dealing with in this case. In addition, in the Honey Lake case, this court approved a series of factors that the state engineer considers when it reviews the public interest. And those are all statutory based. The practical effect of the public trust doctrine in Nevada. If it doesn't work in the way that Mineral County is arguing that it works, how does it work? As I said before, everyone has to recognize that Nevada water law is defined by scarcity. The legislature has chosen not to prioritize any right over another. And that's important, because there is no best public use right now. Filling Walker Lake is not necessarily the best public use. And I would point to Endow as offering an example of the good that can be accomplished by this balance and flexibility. Because they recognize the truth there's insufficient water for everyone's needs, and they recognize the truth that there's no one public trust value that overcomes the others. As a result, Endow has managed its water rights in the basin to include upstream fisheries and wetlands, as well as to have a fishery stocked with fish for when Walker Lake comes back and is a habitat for fishing. Now, Endow would love nothing more than to have both the upstream values filled as well as Walker Lake filled, but it recognizes the realities of the situation of water in our state. And I think that the problem with Mineral County's position can be illustrated by a hypothetical to consider. What if Endow were to come in and say the same thing that Mineral County is saying, essentially, that we should fill Walker Lake, and that is the primary public trust value that it wants to propose? In that case, Endow would then lose all of its upstream projects. It would lose the Mason Valley Wildlife Area, which provides wetlands for birds and other animals. It would lose its Mason Valley Fish Hatchery. And so there can't be one right that outweighs the others. And finally, with regard to the state engineer, because it is bound by these statutory factors and because it is bound by this court, the state engineer asks that should this court change anything about how the water law operates in the state, that it give clear guidance. The state engineer needs clear guidance on what it needs to do, how much water it needs to hold back, what public trust values it should consider if those are going to be changed by this court. And so finally, in conclusion, the state entities ask that this court formally recognize that the public trust doctrine does apply to navigable waters, but recognize that it is already incorporated in the laws of the state and are defined by the legislature in statute, not by this court. And to make clear that the process outlined in Lawrence satisfies the public trust doctrine and that it does not extend to use by this court as a tool for interference with any prior appropriated rights. If this court has no further questions, that is all I have. Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honor. I'm Roderick Walston. I represent Lyon County and all the other respondents that are listed in the caption, except for Nevada Defenders of Wildlife and Walker River Irrigation District. And I've agreed to split my time with the WRID attorney so that we each have about 10 minutes to argue. We fundamentally disagree with the very premise that has been put before this court by Mineral County concerning the nature of the public trust doctrine. We don't think the doctrine operates the way that Mineral County argues. Under their argument, the public trust doctrine is kind of a separate body of law that stands out here apart from the statutory water rights system, establishes separate requirements from the water rights system, and allows the courts to step in and overturn the legislature's statutory system of regulation if, in the court's perception, the statutory system conflicts with the public trust doctrine. And our view is the public trust doctrine doesn't do that. This court so recognized in Lawrence, and this U.S. Supreme Court also so recognized in Illinois Central. Our view is that the public trust doctrine is a foundational principle of the statutory water rights system. It is a part of the statutory system. And what it does is it imposes upon the legislature the obligation to regulate water in the public interest. That is what the public trust doctrine does. It's the same thing as a public interest standard. It requires the state to regulate water in the public interest, and the legislature, of course, is the institution of this state that is responsible for regulating water, establishing water policy, and administering the public trust. And so this court should defer to the legislature's judgment when it makes these public trust calls. It's really up to the legislature to determine what is in the best public interest of the state of Nevada. And this court, in our view, should defer to the legislature's judgment. And in that respect, we think Mineral County's argument fundamentally misconceives the very nature of the public trust doctrine before this court.
So if this court were to agree with you, counsel, that the legislature and the water law includes contemplation or addresses the public trust doctrine, what remedy does Mineral County have when it asserts that the state engineer has failed to vindicate or consider their interests in applying the public interest or the public trust doctrine that's part of the statutory scheme?
If Mineral County perceives that the state engineer is misperceiving the public trust, the remedy for Mineral County is not to go to this court, but to go to the Nevada legislature and ask for the Nevada legislature to change the law in a way that will accommodate Mineral County's interest, whether in Walker Lake or any other stream system in Nevada. The Nevada legislature enacted its statutory system in 1913, and it established the principle that adjudicated water rights are final and conclusive and cannot be reallocated. That's a policy choice that was made by the Nevada legislature back in 1913. And to date, the legislature has not changed that statutory system of regulation. When the legislature was considering these issues, it really had two policy choices before it with respect to adjudicated rights. On the one hand, it could take the view of Mineral County and say that water rights, once adjudicated by the courts, can still be reevaluated by the state every 5 or 10 or 15 years or whatever, so that the state can, if it wants, reallocate the water. from where it was authorized to some other public use that's important to Nevada. The other policy choice that faced the legislature then was to provide that water rights are final and certain and simply cannot be reallocated. And the reason, and the legislature clearly made the latter choice. And the reason it did it is because the finality and certainty of water rights, as Judge Hardesty indicated, is that it provides for the development of Nevada's water supplies. Nevada happens to be the most arid state in the country, and it depends upon appropriation of water, development of water supplies, and reliability of water rights in order to provide water for the public needs of the state of Nevada and for all of its citizens. And that was a choice that was made by the legislature back in 1913. The legislature is always free to change that position, but to date it hasn't done so. The statutory system is just replete with considerations of the public interest. The public interest is just infused into the entire statutory system. For example, Section 533.025, water belongs to the public, so it doesn't belong to the water user. The water user doesn't own the water. He simply has a right to its use. And the legislature can come in and change this entire system if it chooses to do so, which it has not done to date. Section 0.030 provides that water can only be used for a beneficial use. The water user can't use the water for any purpose that it might have in mind. It has to use water for a beneficial use. That is a use that is beneficial to all the people of Nevada. And Section 0.050 provides that beneficial use is a public use. It's not a private use. It is a public use. And what that means is that when water is diverted to beneficial use, that benefits all the people of Nevada because it provides them with water supplies for the present generation and for future generations as well. And even the U.S. Supreme Court said the same thing in 1935 in the California Oregon Power case, when it said, and I'm quoting now, "In the arid land states, the use of water for irrigation, although by a private individual, is a public use." Now, turning to the specific statutory issue before this court, which is, what about adjudicated water rights? Can they be reallocated? The statute specifically addresses that. And I mentioned earlier that the legislature made these policy choices, specifically Section 0.210, provides that adjudicated water rights are final and conclusive. They cannot be reallocated.
So what if choice made, there's an evaluation of all of the appropriate public interests and a water right is made, and 25 years down the road, circumstances change in a way that's unforeseeable. Is there any way to go back and change what happened?
Well, there are governmental law, there are alternatives for government to address these type of issues without reallocating water rights and destabilizing the entire water system. For example, Congress did pass a statute a few years ago that established the Walker Basin Restoration Program, a special program designed to protect Walker Lake and water uses in Walker Lake. And what that did is authorize the National Fish and Wildlife Federation to purchase water rights for the very purpose of providing more inflows into Walker Lake. And so there are governmental remedies and solutions apart from a reallocation of adjudicated water rights that would solve these kinds of problems. I see my time is up, and so I'll allow Mr. Polia, I hope, a fair amount of time to argue.
Good morning, Your Honors. Gordon DePole from Woodburn and Wedge on behalf of the Walker River Irrigation District. I'm looking at the timer here, and I will leave some time for Mr. Walston to address the takings issue after I cover what I intend to cover. I intend to cover the issue of if for some reason this court decides that the policy choices made by the Nevada legislature in its water law somehow violate the public trust doctrine, and I firmly believe that they do not, that then the law needs to be altered. The alteration must come from the legislature in the first instance, not from this court, and I'll explain why. But there were a couple of things that I wanted to address that struck me from some of the conversations that we've been having. To me, the resource, the public trust resource here is water. If this case turns on whether Nevada owns Walker Lake, as pointed out in the amicus brief of the Walker River Paiute Tribe and in our brief, there is a serious question as to whether the federal government reserved that lake in 1859, before Nevada became a state, as part of the Walker River Indian Reservation. And it was part of the Walker River Indian Reservation from 1859 until the early 1900s, when the tribe ceded it back to the United States. So if this case turns on that, that's a question that's this court can't really decide. The other thing I wanted to quickly address is this issue of destabilization. Mineral County likes to say, well, there's been no destabilization. Well, that's because there are only two states that have allowed the public trust doctrine to change an existing water right, what California did in Audubon and what Hawaii did in that Waihole ditch case, which really is based on the Hawaiian Constitution and Hawaiian statutes. The other states, the states more like Nevada, have come down in a variety of ways, including with statutory provisions that say the public trust doctrine does not apply to the appropriation of water. Idaho, Montana, Utah, and no other state in court law has said that it does. There are some cases out there that says that the public trust doctrine would allow me to recreate in water flowing through a landowner's property, even though the state may not own the land underneath it. But that's not something that allows for the reallocation of water. So to get to the point of as to why, if there's any choices that don't meet the public trust doctrine, that the court must allow the legislature to make the change in the first instance. And the legislature is best equipped to address these issues because they involve how best to protect Nevada's interest in the entire Walker River system, not just Walker Lake. That should not be a decision for a single federal judge to decide on a case-by-case basis without guidelines from the legislature. Doing so involves policy choices which are entrusted by the people of Nevada to the legislature. Some of the issues. This is an interstate stream system. The Walker, like the Truckee, the Carson, and the Colorado in southern Nevada, is an interstate stream system. It has water rights on it based on Nevada law, California law, and federal law. Unlike the Truckee and the Carson and the Colorado River in southern Nevada, there is no binding interstate allocation on the Walker River between Nevada and California. On an interstate stream system, the only reliable way to ensure and balance water use among the states, among the environmental interests in those cases, is either an interstate compact, a federal law which makes an allocation coupled with an agreement among the sovereigns involved. Without an interstate allocation, unilateral reductions in off-stream water use by the state of Nevada will will not only jeopardize Nevada's share of the Walker River from share of water from the Walker River system, it will not ensure any protection of any public resources in Nevada. You can look at both ends of this state as to how those things have been handled. The Truckee River in Nevada had very similar problems with Pyramid Lake, and that how that was handled is described in the Truckee Meadows Water Authority brief. And I could tell you from my own experience in dealing with that, the foundation on which that resolution is based is that Nevada's Truckee River water rights adjudicated by the Oreditch Decree are final and reliable.
Mr. DiPoli, before you shift gears, I want to circle back to something you said at the beginning of your argument. If it is the case that there is a question about the ownership of the lake involving the tribe and the statements you made earlier, is this question something that we should answer at this time? It seems like if that question is so fundamental that perhaps this court should not have entertained this question from the Ninth Circuit, and it would be advisory rather than an appropriate NRAP 5 resolution until the first question you pondered is addressed.
I don't think so, Justice Hardesty, because as I said, the resource here is not Walker Lake. The resource is Nevada's, what the legislature did in dispensing to its citizens the right to use water. Nevada hasn't granted any interest to anybody in Walker Lake. And that's really not the question the Ninth Circuit asked. The Ninth Circuit is looking to how does it affect prior appropriation? I would say, Justice Hardesty, though, if you conclude that the case has to, that question can't be answered unless it's clear that Nevada owns Walker Lake, then I would agree with your conclusion that the response should be somebody needs to tell us whether this is a resource owned by Nevada, and it's not for us to decide. And frankly, it may not be for anybody to decide because there's some jurisdictional issues as to how that question can actually be answered and where. Is that another issue that the legislature, in addition to the interest rate situation, is the legislature, in deciding what to do in this kind of a situation, can consider to what extent should voluntary restoration be looked at. And that's extremely important here because it's actually happening. And it's happening to the point that the Walker Basin Restoration Program has acquired 47% of the water that it thinks is needed to meet its ultimate objective. It has acquired over 13,497 water rights are pertinent to over 13,497 acres of land. The legislature can also consider what impacts should be looked at in relation to the folks affected. This is a situation where there are literally hundreds of water users whose livelihoods depend on the use of water, and they have no alternative water source. This is very different than Los Angeles Department of Water and Power, which did have alternate water sources, as we know. This kind of a decision doesn't involve just the persons whose water rights are impacted. It involves others. In an irrigation district, the assessments have to be paid and spread across the water right lands of the entire district. If you have some whose water rights make their farms no longer viable and those assessments can't be paid, the entire district is at risk. On the other hand, the restoration programs here and on the Truckee and on the Carson have required assessments to continue to be paid, and that's another one. Another issue is what's going to happen to lands that are dewatered? in an involuntary situation, there's no responsibility. On the other hand, Walker Basin Restoration Program requires that these lands be restored to their natural state with native vegetation. Something that I also want to mention, and I'm going to have to sit down here in a second, but the legislature can consider climate change. And the science of climate change tells us that Nevada is going to be much warmer, much more evaporation, and it's going to be much more stress on its water resources going into the future. Justices, these are issues that, and as I say, I don't believe that Nevada's legislature's decisions on making water available for beneficial use violate the public trust doctrine, but if for some reason you think there's something that needs to be altered, these are very difficult policy choices. They have to be made by the people that the Nevadans have elected to make those tough decisions, and that's their legislature. Thank you.
Just in brief answer to Justice Hardesty's question, regarding who owns Walker Lake, the state of Nevada or the Indian tribe, that is not one of the certified issues that came from the Ninth Circuit, so I don't believe there's a necessity for the court to answer the question. And the tribe always has the option of bringing a separate lawsuit, either in federal court or this court, raising that question. But if the court does decide to answer the question, which of course is a very significant question of federal law, then certainly the court would ask for the parties to file additional briefs on that question. I'd like to briefly talk about the second issue that was certified by the Ninth Circuit, which was the takings issue. And this issue alone is a very significant question of Nevada law, because the question is whether there's a taking under the Nevada Constitution if Mineral County's public trust theory is correct. Our view is that there is no taking under those circumstances. We all agree, everybody in this courtroom agrees, that a water right is a form of property. The water user doesn't own the water, but he has a right to its use. And the right to use water is a form of property. And this court is so held in several cases. And so, for that matter, has the U.S. Supreme Court. In Filippini, 1949, this court held that a vested water right is one that is fixed and established under Nevada law, and that as such, it is protectable property under the Constitution. Certainly an adjudicated water right is a form of a right that is fixed and established under Nevada law, and therefore it is a protectable property interest under the Nevada Constitution. In our view, the taking would be a physical taking, not a regulatory taking. It's not as if the state is taking this water that's going to be reallocated and simply regulating it. It's simply taking this entire bundle of water and putting it to another use and depriving the water user of any interest whatsoever in that reallocated water. And this conclusion is especially true, we think, under the Nevada Constitution, because as this court held in the Sisolak case, McCarran International Airport versus Sisolak, 2006. Justice Hardesty is very familiar because he wrote the decision. The court held that the Nevada Constitution provides greater protection of property rights than does the federal Constitution. Now, Mineral County, in its brief, has raised a very interesting issue about whether there can be a judicial taking of property. Can the courts take property, not just the legislative and executive branches? And we think the answer to that is that there can be a judicial taking of property if the courts interpret property in a way that departs from past and accepted principles of law. And the Supreme Court has so held in a couple of cases cited in our brief. Although the issue was not decided definitively by the Supreme Court in the Stop the Beach case, the Supreme Court, a majority of the justices in Stop the Beach, found that a judicial interpretation of property can result in a violation of the Constitution, whether the violation is under the Takings Clause or the Due Process Clause. And so we think that answers the judicial taking issue. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You have 6 minutes and 39 seconds.
Thank you, Madam Chief Justice, and may it please the Court. Before I turn to the takings question with my very limited time, I do need to at least address one significant, I think, red herring or mistaken assertion that was being made by the parties on the other side, namely that the fact that there may be a program that provides a partial component of a remedy that ultimately might be deemed necessary for Walker Lake under the public trust doctrine means that the court should completely disregard the doctrines, meaning its requirements, or issue a mandate ensuring that the decree court and that the state engineer, to the extent that it's his decision to participate in that, that they must fulfill the state's or the sovereign's public trust obligation to the lake and to the river system. The fact is that that remedy is not going to be complete. That program, which was established under the good offices of Senator Reed, was done out of desperation because of the stymieing of the progress on the merits of this case for well over 15 years. It is mathematically not possible that the Walker Basin Conservancy will acquire sufficient water rights to completely meet the needs of the lake. And mind you, this is not filling the lake. This is restoring the lake to a basic level of sustainability in terms of its fisheries, its utility for public human uses, recreation, bathing, etc., and also to the spectacular flocks of migratory birds that once depended on the lake and attracted many visitors and have either died or been driven to other more remote habitat areas. In addition, I think I need to say that the separation of power arguments that have been made by the respondents and the state engineer are misplaced because it's uniquely the province of the court to interpret or construe the nature and scope of a fiduciary duty and to issue a ruling that establishes a mandate for the trustee to actually fulfill the obligation or duty that it is under, in this case, the sovereign, the state. It's not something that the legislature can legislate out of existence or fundamentally alter. It's a limitation inherently on the exercise of the sovereign's power over the water resources. I think I also need to just touch on the lake. There is, in fact, no pending claim. There is no lawsuit disputing the ownership of the lake. It belongs to the state of Nevada legally at this time. There is no question there. This is a red herring meant to distract and disconcert the court rather than acknowledging that the public trust doctrine applies under Nevada law, and it's for this court to determine to what extent it applies and can be implemented by the decree court to solve the problems and remedy the devastation of Walker Lake. I would also say that under the doctrine, it doesn't matter which sovereign ends up owning the lake. Certainly under Nevada law, this court has the authority and it's uniquely qualified to declare what the public trust fiduciary duty requires with regard to Walker Lake. Another sovereign would still have to interpret and apply the public trust doctrine, but at the present time, there is no other sovereign. It's this state that governs and has jurisdiction over Walker Lake, and it's this state's law that the Ninth Circuit has asked this court to construe, recognizing that the decree court stands in the shoes of the state of Nevada in administering the Walker River system and will stand in the shoes of Nevada in determining what to do about Walker Lake's environmental devastation. Now, let me turn to the takings question. I know there is very limited time. I think the first and most important point to make is that there can be no takings in this case because the public trust doctrine adheres and has adhered in Nevada water law as a background principle since the inception of the state. So all of the usufructuary water rights under Nevada law since the days of the state's territorial status and since then are a subservient estate that allow a right of use that is limited and is not permitted to destroy or fundamentally alter and degrade the basic trust race, the water resource in question here. You cannot, under Lucas, and it has not been changed under Stop the Beach by the Supreme Court, you cannot lose what you don't have. There cannot be a taking of a right that is not actually a component of the specific property right at issue. This is also the court's holding in Lucas with regard to background principles. Now, contrary to what has been said, a number of states and federal courts, including the U.S. Supreme Court, have acknowledged that the public trust doctrine is fundamentally a background principle of state law. It's determined by states, and state courts have a right to construe that under changing circumstances as necessary or warranted if the nature of the principle in question has evolved to reflect changing social needs or priorities and perhaps changed circumstances with regard to the public trust waters in question. So as a matter of law and on its face, there's no taking possible in this case. There's certainly no per se taking that occurs merely by applying the public trust doctrine to Walker Lake and the Walker River system in a way that potentially restricts the exercise of the usufructuary rights in the Walker River Basin. There's also, under Nevada law, no compensation provided for curtailment under the priority system. So even if, in applying the public trust doctrine, the decree court determines that junior-most water rights may, at certain times, under certain circumstances, be restricted in terms of the availability of water, that is not a compensable taking under Nevada law. It is not a divestiture of the title to the water or the water right itself. It is merely a restriction on its exercise to protect the public trust. As for judicial takings, the Supreme Court has never by any majority held that such a theory exists. And in fact, it has declined to consider those arguments at least three times since Stop the Beach was decided, and that was dismissed by the majority of the justices. One last, I have a few more seconds.
Okay. Pardon me,
Chief Justice Pickering. I would also argue that while there can be no takings through an application of a background principle of law, it is also not a question that is, properly speaking, ripe for determination in this case. At the remedial stage, when some determination is made as to how the doctrine would be implemented in Walker Lake, whether it's through efficiency enhancements, restrictions of flood water rights, the termination of future prospective storage rights that reside and have never been exercised but have been asserted by parties in the Walker Basin and continue to be asserted in an effort to defeat the Walker Basin Restoration Program, about which you've heard so much. That is the time in which a determination can be made of what will the actual practical or pragmatic effect on the exercise of water rights in the Walker Basin be, and could that possibly constitute a takings? Then, under Penn Central and the Tahoe Sierra Conservation cases, a balancing test would have to be applied as applied, whether the doctrine in fact works any kind of taking. But as we've said, because it would not remove anything that is actually a part of the title to appropriative water right, the public trust doctrine does not, in fact, implicate the takings clause of the Constitution of Nevada or the United States. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I want to thank all parties for the excellent briefs and oral argument. The matter will stand submitted and will be in recess until the next call of the